of our lives. Yes. Of our world. He's got the whole world in his hands. Even when it doesn't look like it, he's got your life, my life, our world in his hands. That's good. At the end of my message tonight, I'm going to ask you to respond. I tell you now so you can get ready. So if you don't want to, you can change your mind in the next 30 minutes. If you're a bit stubborn, you can sort yourself out as I'm talking. Get ready. I'm going to ask you to stand, come to the front for a couple of things. And one of those things I'm going to ask you to do is we're going to pray for everybody tonight. It's not a ministry time. It's not a counselling time. It's not a question and answer session. I'm going to ask you to simply stand. Come here. Whether you're young or old or in between, good, bad or a little bit ugly or handsome like me, I'm going to ask you to stand, come to the front all around here. And behind the first row, there'll be a second row. And there'll be some people here that will simply anoint you with oil, pray for you, commission you, not just for the Frinton mission, but for the work of sharing our faith and your testimony. And tonight is open to all of us here tonight. John chapter 4 and verse 1. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judah, which was in the south, and went back once more to Galilee, which is in the north. Verse 4. Now he had to go through Samaria to get from one place to the other. It wasn't so much that he had to go through Samaria to get to one place to the other. That was not the only reason. The main reason he had to go through Samaria was to meet one person. It was going to be a divine appointment, a divine encounter. And that little verse about that long. Now, he had to go through Samaria to meet one woman. My life was completely rearranged many years ago, and God has subsequently arranged my life, took me to a place, led me to a place at a particular time for a reason. I thought I was going to go there or do something for that reason. That seems obvious. No. So my life was completely rearranged, and he's been rearranging it ever since I've become a Christian. And one of those first instances was when I went to a college in North London to study. Delayed a whole year. Because I had to arrive at a particular college in a particular year to meet a particular person. This is what was happening here. Now, he had to go through Samaria. And that somebody that I met at college was a man called J. John. Now, for me to meet this one man, my whole life was rearranged, put back. So that when I started that college in that September, it was the same year that he started, that God wanted me to meet him. And God wants you to meet people at a time or a place. Now he had to go through Samaria. And that this whole thing tells me that my Jesus is a tremendously compassionate, purposeful Jesus. Sending you and I, prompting us by his Spirit, rearranging our lives so that we could meet somebody. Now we just need to pick that up. Sense the prompting. Let that compassion come. And do and say whatever he's asking of us. Verse 5. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. So it's about noon. It's the hottest part of the day. This is the master at work. This is a master class. And we follow the master and the Lord. Let's learn from the master and from our Lord. He sat down by the well. Tired. Do you get tired? We can get tired in all kinds of ways. We can get fed up. We can get discouraged. We could be ill. We may not be at our best. It may be hot in here. And I don't mean temperature. It may be stuff going on. He was tired, sat down by the well. Verse 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, it's like immediately, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. She was most surprised. Jesus began with a question, notice. Will you give me a drink? Jesus began with, can you help me? Can you give me a favor? I need some help here. There's a principle here. He was asking for help. There is a time and a place sometimes for us to ask for help. Sometimes our something goes wrong and our lawnmower breaks and we just go out and buy another one. Why? Why don't we just go to a neighbor and ask for help? What would that do? What could that do? There's a principle here. He's asking for help. Will you give me a drink? He starts off with a question. There's a question mark at the end of it. Have you noticed? Will you give me a drink? I'm a woman. You're a man. Don't talk to me. You don't like us. We don't like you. What are you doing? The Samaritan woman said to him, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? Jesus answered her, if you only knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. He said it like this. If you only knew. Can you talk like that? I've been talking like that for over 40 years with people that don't know Jesus. If you only knew. Turn to someone next to you and say, if you only knew. Go on. No, do it like this. If you only knew. That's it. That's like Greek Cypriot. That's like African Christianity. If you only knew, that's what Jesus was saying, the gift of God and who I am, you would ask me and I would give you living water. Come on! In modern speak. Isn't it? It's like we're a bit too British, isn't it? Oh, if you only knew. Come on! That's how Jesus was saying it. That's the heart of the matter. Sir, the woman said, verse 11, she calls him sir, respect. Sir. Our world needs respect for Jesus. Have some respect. Church, have some respect. World, David Cameron, have some respect. Person that doesn't know Jesus, have some respect. Why don't you listen to Jesus? He's got the answer. What's your question? What's your problem? Why don't you listen? Why don't you respect? Why don't you get on your knees? Why don't you turn to the book? Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? She's thinking H2O. Can you see what the master's doing? Masterclass. Master doing the masterclass. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his flocks and his herds? You haven't got a bucket. I've got the bucket. You haven't got a rope. What are you going to do? Fly down the well? You're not borrowing my bucket or rope. I've got it. I'm not lending it to you. What are you going to do? Are you greater? It's a bit like that. Jesus answered her, everyone who drinks this H2O water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I will give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, respect. Give me this water so that I won't get thirsty. Have you got some special water, Jesus? Where have you got? Have you got some special water? I'd like it. Give me this water. I want this water, so that I won't get thirsty again and have to keep coming here to draw water. I'd really like this water. She's beginning to believe now. She's beginning to get it now. Jesus is slowly unfolding something to her. He said to her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say that you have no husband. You have had five husbands. And the one you've got now isn't your husband. The master now was again moving in the power of the Spirit, telling her about her life. It's a word of knowledge. Oh, how we need that. Come out. Come to him. As we come to him, Lord, here am I, Transform me, teach me, give me, equip me, empower me by your Spirit. I'd like some of that. I'm not doing that. I'd like to do that. Lord, can you take me as I am? You have had five, the one you've got now isn't. Sir, the woman said, I can see you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus talks for a little bit. Verse 25, the woman said, I know the Messiah called the Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared to her, I am. I who speak to you am he. Jesus said to her, go call your husband. Jesus didn't come to rub it in, to rub that in her face. In fact, he came to her and comes to rub it out. By his death on the cross, he can give our world new life. He came to forgive her, not to shame her, but he wanted her to face reality of sin. That's why he spoke to her like that. And the woman responded because he was moving in the power of the Spirit. I was an assistant missioner to a university, and during a lunchtime, a young student came into the venue, went over by the bookstall, picked up a book, and I'm watching him like a hawk, thinking I'm going to go down now and get him. So I went over to him. I said, sir, I saw you pick up the book and put it down. I'd like to give you that as a gift from me. I'll pay for it. Take it. He took it. The next day, 24 hours later, the same student came into the venue. So I went up to him, tall young guy. I said, how'd you get on with the book? He said, I read it. I said, what do you mean? He said, I read it. I said, what do you mean you read it? He said, I read it. I said, what do you mean you read it? You read the whole book in one night. He said, I read it all last night. I said, really? Did you read the bit at the end? He said, yes. I said, what did you do? I'm like full of questions. Did you read the book? Yes. Are you sure you read the book? Yes. You read all the book last night. Is that right? Yes. Did you read the stuff at the end? Yes. What did you do with the stuff at the end of the book? He said, I did it. I said, what, you opened the door to Christ and let him into your life? He said, I did it last night. I said, great. Have you got time for a coffee? Another question. Have you noticed? Have you got time for a coffee? He said, yes. So we do a little coffee and a follow-up. 6 months later, I return to the university, take their whole weekend for them and speak and minister. And the guy's moved on in Christ, been baptized, and is following Jesus. I was on a plane coming back from Ethiopia. And the Lord said to me, speak to the man there. I said, all right, Lord. So I leant over a person to speak to the man sitting near me. I said, excuse me, sir. I'd like to give you this little booklet. Gave it to him. It was called Bridge to Life. He starts to read it. I start to pray. With my eyes open. With one eye looking at him like that. I start praying. Jesus. Jesus. He's reading it. 5 minutes are going. I'm still praying. Jesus. I'm praying the most powerful prayer I can pray. Jesus. Inside I'm thinking, get him, Lord, get him. Speak to him, speak to him, speak to him, get him, Lord. Jesus, come on. 10 minutes are gone, I'm still praying. Jesus, Jesus. 15 minutes are gone, I'm thinking, what's he doing? He should have finished it by now. It's full of pictures and like a few words. 20 minutes are up. He turns to me. He says, excuse me, sir. I said, yes. He says, what does this mean? You must be born again. What does that mean? So I explain what that means. Explain how he can be born again. And encourage him to take that step of believing in Christ. Opening the door so that he can be born again. I was knocking on some doors in Swanfield Drive, in Chichester, did a survey with a big man. Survey about the area, what the area needs, said goodbye to him, left. The door shut. I made a discreet note in my little door-to-door notebook. Visit him again. Must visit him again. Number 40. Name, Lyndon. Get him. Months pass. We've got an evangelist coming to town called Jay John, speaking at a restaurant meeting. I go out into the highways and byways asking all sorts of people, friends, neighbours, strangers, loads of people. Go back to Lyndon at number 40 Swanfield, knock at his door. Opens the door. He says, I remember you. I said, I remember you. So we're chatting on the door. I ask myself in. We're having a little discussion. I said, Lyndon, I've come tonight to invite you to come and hear my friend, who's a great speaker, who's going to speak about Christ and about life. You'll love it. I want you to come, your wife to come. Here's tickets, you're going to get a free meal, you're going to have a great evening, you're going to sit opposite me on my table. Come. I'm praying, Jesus, make him say yes. He said, I'm coming. He came, well over 100 people there. He's on my table, sitting right opposite me. We have the food in this really nice restaurant. Jay John gets up, does a presentation of the gospel, finishes off with a prayer of commitment to Christ, coffee served, finished. I turn to Lyndon and say to him, well, what did you think? He said, you people, you've got something. I said, really? He said, yeah, you've got something. I said, Lyndon, did you pray the prayer? He said, no. Frankly, at that moment, it didn't put me off. I didn't care whether he prayed or not. I thought, I'm going to get you. God's going to get you. You're on my case, you're on his case. Your cards are marked. Whether you prayed the prayer. What, you think I'm discouraged because you never prayed the prayer now? I said, can I come to your house next week? I'm in his house the next week with two people that I'm training from my church. We're drinking tea and coffee in his house the next week. It's called Follow Up. Frinton Mission. Frinton people, you better get all frimped up. Let's get frimped up and do some follow up. So I'm in his house. We chat for a couple of hours, give him a little booklet. Gospel book. I said, we're going. Last week, you heard. Tonight, you heard. When you read this book, for the third time at least in your life, you will hear about the love of Jesus. If you open the door, Lyndon, and I encourage you to do so, let me know. We leave. We pray. Jesus, get him. Speak to him. contact him that very week. I said, what happened, Lyndon? He said, when you left, that little gospel booklet, I read it, and I got on my knees, and I gave my life to Jesus. I said, well done. He started coming to church. His wife started coming to church. And then about 2 years later, of being transformed, following Jesus, learning, he had a call to give up sales and plumbing and go to a theological college in Bristol, where he trained to be a minister and became ordained and was a minister for several years. So what happened there? Somebody knocked at a door. Somebody went back at the door. Somebody had some courage. Somebody prayed. Somebody put on an event so that people could come to that was neutral in the restaurant, and Lyndon was a person that came. Somebody followed up. Somebody didn't take no for an answer when they said, no, I didn't pray. Somebody followed through. Somebody suggested to the man, you've got little children, you can't come out. Can we come to you every fortnight? Would you like that? We would love that. What, you'll come to us and so we can read the Bible and drink coffee and tea and we can be friends and you can help us. I said, we'll do that for you because you can't get out. We did that for 6 months. It's amazing. When I met J. John all those years ago, befriended him over some weeks and months, would bump into him every now and then. I was studying engineering, he was doing something completely different. Then one day, I gave him a gospel book. And I went back to our youth fellowship and said, can we pray for a man that I know a little bit? Today, I gave him a gospel booklet. Can we pray for his conversion? He read it that night. A night in February. He gave his life to Christ. And a few days later, that same week, came up to me in the college and said, I read the book. I prayed the prayer. What do I do now? I said, this week, at such and such a time, outside this particular place, outside Barnet College in North London, come, I will collect you and take you to Finchley and introduce you to something called a youth fellowship. What's a youth fellowship, Andy? I'll show you what that is. You'll see when you get there. And discipled him for 2 years. And since, without exaggeration, God has used that one person to bring thousands upon thousands upon thousands and thousands to Christ. There is power in the gospel of Jesus. It doesn't depend on how good you and I share it or that it is proclaimed. There is inherent power, and there is power in your story. And you and I are the answer to people's greatest need. We've got the answer to whatever problem they may have. We are the answer because we point them to Christ, who is the Saviour. And here in John 4, we have Jesus who said to this woman, if you only knew the gift. This amazing Holy Spirit that will well up in you and give you life in all its fullness. If you only knew the gift of God and who I am, you would ask me and I would give you living water and you will never be thirsty again, because all people are thirsty. And we cannot live without this stuff. Can we? We cannot live without water. If you don't believe it, try it. See how you'll look after 4 days of drinking no water. Yeah, you'll be drinking tea and dehydrating sooner. You'll be dying sooner. Tea, coffee. How long will you live? Doctor, there's a doctor in the house. Ask him later. He's over there. If you've got any other problems, go and see him. That's a joke. And people can't live without Jesus either. But they think they can. Can you live without Jesus? I can't. I've got respect. Non-Christians need to be told, have some respect. Why don't you listen to Jesus? Why don't you look into Jesus? You can say it nicely. You can say it firmly. Don't be a wimp. It's not take it or leave it. Come on. We've been taking it or leaving it for far too long. Can you live without Jesus? I'm dead. Every breath that I take is because of Him. Every trial that I've been through and come out of, or going through and coming out of, is because of Him. He gives meaning, purpose, and peace, and eternal life. Come on. Say it as it is. We don't get nowhere sometimes because we're not saying it as it is. We've changed the gospel. We've become like scared rabbits. Aren't they scared? Aren't they nervy? We used to have a rabbit. A pet. Oh, they're so nervy. You can tame them. But I mean, they are nervy. And even when you tame them, you need to keep stroking them. Handling them. Because they're like scared. I'm not a rabbit. Are you a rabbit? Rabbit. Kill the rabbit. We're not a rabbit. Like nervy. Scared. Running from the lights. Nervy. Twitchy. Christians. People. We're like eagles. I'm going to close in a minute. Can I ask the band to come up? Maybe you need refreshment. Maybe you're tired. Come. Maybe you need to be refreshed and renewed by the Holy Spirit. Come. Maybe you'd like to enroll in the school, Evangelism School of Jesus. Come. We're going to do two things. Don, there's another box there. Could you do the same? Thank you. In a moment, could we all stand? Thank you. This is my gospel book. It's exactly that. It's a book about how to know Jesus. From the very first page, it tells that most amazing story of Maximilian Kolbe, who gave his life during the war in the most amazing way. And when I went to Poland, Auschwitz, I stared at his cell, knowing the story of this amazing, brave man that one day stepped forward from that very story. I pick it up and explain another story of another man that did something far greater for the person reading the book, for the world. This is a gospel book and the discipleship book. I'm going to ask you in a moment to come out in this nice, safe environment, to come out and get some of these gospel books. You can only get three. You can't get two. You can't get four. You can't get one. They come in threes. You can't get six or nine because they won't go round. First come, first serve. Don't be British. Just come. Don't wait politely. Just come. If you're in the middle, just push out the way. There's people. Have you noticed there's people next to you? Just push them out the way. I don't care. You're not going. I'm going. I'm my own person. You can be stuck if you like. I'm not stuck, glued to the floor. Come. I've reduced them in price. They're three for just £10. If you haven't got the money, go and see Don. He's got loads of money. Don will pay for them if you haven't got the money. Three for £10. If you haven't got the money, send a cheque in to Soteria Trust. Let's do the money thing after. Go and put it in the tin over there. If you haven't got any money, be humble and ask the person next to you, can you give me... Notice I said give me. You're not. It's not a loan, right? Young people, you can turn to those very rich people at the back. Can you turn now? Have a look at them. That's it. There's a nice lady there in the white hair. Hello, nice lady in the white hair. I think you've got a tenner. Can I have it? Because I need to get three books to give to people that as the Lord leads. You may walk it across the road. You may wrap it up in paper. You may know who that person is. You may not. You may not wait till the Frinton mission. You might not be able to wait. You may wait as the Lord leads, this week or next week. And when you've got rid of the three books, just be led by the Holy Spirit. You may not see the people again, but you may be led. It's exciting. Could be a friend or an enemy. In a moment, when I say go, it's like a gun going off. Come out quietly, very British style. No ranting and raving, but swiftly. Get the books, go back. And then when we've done that, as an act of worship, come out. I'm going out, Lord. I'm responding to you. I want to reach out with the gospel. Lead me. Some of you will give it to someone at work. Some of you, before you give it, will need to build a little bit more of a friendship. Please listen to that carefully. I wanted my hairdresser, who used to cut my hair, called Francis, to come and hear me preach the gospel. And God said to me, don't ask him, he won't come yet. You know him well, but not enough. Build the bridge a little bit more. Then invite him, then he'll come. I said, what shall I do then, Lord, to build the bridge a little bit more so that he'll say yes? Invite him for lunch, pick it up from work, take him to the Chinese, take him back, then ask him, then he'll come. Right, Lord, I got it. So France, I went to get my hair cut, he cut it nice. I said, Francis, I want to take you out for lunch next week. Did the lunch, picked him up, took him, brought him back. I said, Francis, I'm speaking in a church. I'd like you to come and listen. Did he come? Yes. Just be led. You might have to do that, some of you, so that you will be received. That's what I did with J. John. Unknowingly, he says that Andy Konomidis built a bridge from me to him. A bridge of friendship, and Jesus walked across. People of Frinton, ready? Come. Get your books and take your seats. Three. And if there are any left over, at the end, you can come get three more. Whatever's holding you and I back in life, I'm not just referring to this now, let's break it. Fear. The fear that holds us back, may the Lord break it. Thank you. We're doing well for time, and we will finish before 9. And you can leave whenever you like anyway. You can leave now if you like. But I wouldn't. So now I'm going to ask you in a moment to come out. Can I ask the people that are going to be praying for people, Don? We've got some anointing oil. And in a moment, you can come and just make a circle around here. And then behind you, the next row will come. We'll pray for the first row, very briefly. That the Lord will anoint you with His Holy Spirit, empower you, and commission you to be a witness, to be effective, to share Christ, to share your testimony. It's like you're coming out also and saying to Jesus, here am I, use me. Here am I, school me. Here am I need your help. Here am I, give me your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Refresh me, empower me, send me out. And in the next week or two, you can use the book as a start of something, not the end of anything. And for some of you, it will become a way of life. It's up to you. The Lord bless you. You have a gospel to proclaim. A testimony and a story to share. You're amazing. You've got the Lord, the giver of life, in you. You're amazing. I'm amazing. Look at me. Look at this titch. This strange little Greek Cypriot guy that God can use, like not even 9 stone with a really small nose. I mean, what is that all about? It's not about looks. It's about what is in here. and we go out in the power of the Holy Spirit with a compassion and a passion. When you come out, you're saying, Lord, give me that passion. Give me half of what that man's got, Lord. Give me something from you, Lord. Give me a compassion and a passion for people who are lost. Give me that sense of urgency, that belief that people are lost. Lord, here am I, just as I am, with some stuff that's going on. But here I am, take me as I am, transform me, send me out. Here I am, send me, Lord. So now, just come and we will pray briefly, and then you can take your seats. Thank you.